You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, for once, it was a relatively quiet week in Phillies land. I'm not entirely sure what to do with that. But one of the things that came out after we talked last week, we talked just as the Ruben Amaro news was breaking. One of the things that came out was it seems that nearly everybody else is safe, right, which is really interesting. And I kind of want to break that into two pieces because I think it says a lot of different things. And one is the front office. That this seems to be maybe the only front office change for now. And so I'm wondering, first of all, what that says just about sort of organizational direction.
Well, I think Andy McPhail has a philosophy on that, and that is this. You know, there are some, despite the team's downward trend over the past few years, if you look at the farm system, and things are kind of on the upswing now. When the wins start coming up in the big leagues remains to be seen. But I think what he's trying to say to the next GM is this. Listen, there are some talented people here. So you don't know who any of these, but you don't know who any of these people are. So I want you to take a year, figure out who you like, and then if you want to replace somebody, replace somebody. But I don't want you, for instance, I'm just going to throw a position out there, pro scouting director, for instance. I don't want you just to bring in a pro scouting director just because you know a pro scouting director when you might feel that the guy who's already here is better than the guy that you know. So, and you know what I mean? And if there's a, you might keep, and I also don't want you just to keep a guy who, hey, you know, that might be a guy you might want to replace you down the road. So I think he wants the new GM just to kind of get to know everybody, see who's talented, see who's not so talented. And then after he learns who the good guys are, you know, keep those guys and then fill the gaps wherever he thinks they need to be filled down the road.
What does that say about something we talked about last week about just kind of modernizing the process? And I don't think that's really even entirely about this whole sort of tired stats versus scouts question, but just about a lot of modernizing. There's a lot of things teams are doing beyond just looking at numbers to keep players healthy, to take strategic advantage, all these kinds of things. And my understanding is that the Phillies have not been in the lead in a lot of those things.
Right.
And it seems like they're aware they need to do that. So if pretty much the same people are here, how do they go about making sure they accomplish that?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's why during that press conference, Phillies owner John Middleton, a question was asked to Andy. He said, Andy, what are you looking for in your new GM? And John Middleton said, let me answer this question first. And John Middleton said, I want Andy to hire Andy when he was coming up with the Twins, a young, kind of modern thinking type of baseball executive. And that's why I tend to think that the new GM is going to be a younger guy, a more forward thinking guy, you know, guy willing to, like you said, look into different ways to keep pitchers healthy, players healthy, different way to evaluate players. You know, they have some of those guys in the organization right now, not as many certainly as other organizations, that's why I tend to think the hire is going to be geared in that direction. But again, Andy McPhail wants him to learn about everybody in the organization, see how everything works, keep the good stuff, get rid of the stuff that he doesn't like. So it might not happen. You know, you might not see them doing tons of crazy things next season, but I think, you know, everything is in place to make it happen. I mean, John Middleton has made it very, very, very clear that he wants the Phillies to get on board with whatever you want to call it, money ball or more modern baseball thinking. He definitely wants it to happen. And when an owner wants something to happen, it usually happens.
And then the other part of that is that it sounds like the coaching staff, including, or at least the bulk of the coaching staff, including Pete McCannon, will be back. Now, is McCannon and the coaches, is that something that will just be formalized, say, on October 5th, or is that something where it's still kind of, well, this is our intention, but no guarantees?
Personally, and this is just me talking, I personally think that it's going to happen, you know, immediately after the season, if not before the end of the season. I just think that's Andy McPhail, in my mind, dropped a very, very big hint during that press conference when he said, you know, listen, I'm going to be honest. If it takes us until the end of October to hire the new general manager, or, you know, maybe, hey, you never know, maybe it takes longer. But if it takes me several weeks to interview a bunch of candidates and then to hire the right guy, I don't want that guy's first job to be, all right, now I have to go through and interview a bunch of managerial candidates, hire that guy, and then go through a bunch of coaching candidates and hire those guys. Because he said, we're going to lose a lot of time on this down the road, lose a lot of time in terms of, you know, player personnel for next season and beyond, those types of things. So that's why I think that they're just going to bring Pete back and the coaching staff. And then, again, same thing. Let the new manager evaluate what he thinks of Pete and the coaching staff. And then if he wants to make changes after next season, he can do that.
I think it's safe to say, even with that desire to sort of have that time frame, that if Pete MacKinnon had not, if they hadn't seen some things they liked from him, they wouldn't be doing this. So what have they seen from him that makes them think he's the right guy to go forward beyond just the next few weeks?
Well, I think it's a couple things. One is, you know, he's brought some energy back into the clubhouse. You know, Ryan Sandberg really wasn't a guy that was in the clubhouse at all. You know, I've written and we've talked about how he didn't really communicate very much with his players. And so there was a definite disconnect between the coach's room, manager's office, and the clubhouse. There was just, it didn't really fit like it had in the past with Charlie Manuel and Rich Doobie and those guys. And Pete has kind of brought that back. And I think with a young team, you need to be able to communicate with the players. The team has played better. I mean, certainly hasn't played as well recently because you can only do what you can do with the talent you have on the field. But I think the front office likes enough of what Pete has done, again, to just give him one more year. And, you know, hey, it's going to be another rebuilding year, another year of a lot of growing pains. And I think Pete is even keel enough as well to be able to handle that, not get too worked up. He knows what he's got, so he's not going to be jumping down guys' throats and, going into the season with expectations of, you know, we can make the playoffs. He kind of knows what he's here for, and I think they think that he's well-equipped to handle that.
I think to some extent those of us in the media make too big a deal about managers handling the media, but I also think that it's not nothing, and it seems to me that it was one of the things that Ryan Sandberg didn't do well. And I'm not really talking about giving good answers or being somebody that people like to cover, because you can be terrible to cover and still be skilled at handling the media. But there is a real skill in diffusing problems before they blow up, in getting your message out in the right way, getting it through the media first if that's what you want to do, or getting it to the player first if that's what you want to do. There are all these skills. And I think I'm particularly attuned to that from having, you know, covered a guy who was the absolute master of that. But It seems like that's one of the things that Ryan Sandberg did really, really poorly. Things just blew up on him, and he almost kind of seemed to wonder how that happened. And so I wonder, to what extent is it an asset that, even if MacKinnon doesn't have extensive experience, he's done this a few times. He's seen how this works. It seems like, if nothing else, I actually don't know whether the guy's a good interview or a bad interview, but it seems like because of the experience he has, he's probably more prepared to handle that facet of the job, which it seems to me is magnified in a place like Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think an example of that is kind of how he's handled Ryan Howard over the past few weeks. Going back to last season, Ryan Sandberg told the media, yeah, I'm moving on from Ryan Howard. I'm going to get a look at other guys, and didn't really communicate that with Ryan Howard at all. And then the front office came down and said, you got to play the guy. I mean, you can't just take an iconic first baseman and just bench him and not tell him. He did kind of the same thing with Jimmy Rounds. He just benched him and said he was disappointed in him back in spring training of last year. Was what he did, what Pete MacKinnon did with Howard is, you know, Howard's production against lefties this season has been among the worst in baseball. So finally Pete called, you know, Ryan into his office and said, hey, listen, you're struggling against lefties. I'm going to play Darren Ruff now when there's a left-hander on the mound, and here's why. And Ryan didn't agree with it, didn't necessarily like it, but they had a face-to-face conversation, man-to-man, and it didn't blow up into a bigger thing. And then, you know, Pete, later after after saying he wasn't going to pinch hit him against left-handers late in the game, he came up to him again and said, hey, listen, you know what, I've reconsidered. I know you're not going to like this, but if the situation presents itself, if the game is on the line and they bring in a left-hander in the ninth inning and we have a chance to win the game, I might pinch hit for you there. Again, you know, Ryan didn't necessarily agree with it, but I think he respects the fact that, you know, Pete actually went up to him and talked about it and communicated with him. And I think, and then Pete is also very good, going back to kind of the media, handling the media, he's very good at kind of explaining his thought process there. He doesn't say anything necessarily inflammatory to upset the player, to get him, you know, to kind of disrupt the clubhouse. He's very kind of diplomatic about things, and I think that stuff plays well with the players in the clubhouse.
All right, well, Todd Zalecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.